Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us once again today. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It's the broadcast that many are talking about in the positive sense because we cover issues that most others fail to confront. And when we do so, we do that by the analysis of what does the Word of God say. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Found in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus himself said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about facing issues. Those are issues that I believe we need to confront. There are many issues that we could talk about. In fact, next week during the broadcast, some of the things we will look at. What about transgenderism? Is there such a thing? You hear that, don't you? There are those that talk about it, but medically, scientifically, is that even plausible? We'll talk about that on one of the broadcasts next week. And then I heard a statement by Franklin Graham recently that prompted me on an issue. Franklin Graham issued on his Facebook page, what if you had just 20 minutes to live? And he used the illustration of the false alarm in Hawaii about the incoming missile. And he used that for an illustration of what would you do if you knew you had 20 minutes to live? We're going to talk about that in a little different sense on one of the broadcasts next week. What would you do if you knew you had only one day to live or 1 year to live? How would you respond? What difference would it make in your life? And then one of our broadcast issues that we'll look at next week will be House Bill 871. It is introduced by Senator Baxley and Representative Jay Fant. And it is literally a religious liberty protection bill. And we're going to look at that bill, take it apart inside and out, analyze it, talk about it, and determine what we as citizens ought to do in relationship to our House and Senate this session, what we need to say to them. Ladies and gentlemen, in a moment we're going to be talking about, will Jesus come back physically and reign on this earth for 1,000 years? It is referred to, theologically speaking, as the millennial reign. Will Jesus Christ return visibly, physically, and rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth? But before we get into that, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church is located 1 mile south of I-295. Our Sunday morning Bible study hour is at 9:30. Our morning worship is at 10:45 and evening worship at 7 o'clock. Yes, we still stick to the traditional gospel music that pleases God, doesn't burst the eardrums. We still have services where you don't have to have a flashlight to walk down the aisles. We still have services where you don't jump up and down. You just simply get involved in the study of the Word of God, hearing what thus saith the Word of God says to us and how we ought to obey and how it should change our lives as the Lord Jesus Christ becomes ruler and master in our lives. So let me invite you to come for one of those services Sunday. We've met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person, have the opportunity to fellowship and study the Word of God together. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to that. But I want us to understand when we think about what is called a millennial reign, the ruling and reigning of Christ on the earth for 1,000 years. It's not unusual, even though it's unique. It's that multitudes of believers and Christians alike believe that Jesus is coming back. That's what the Bible teaches. So it's not a unique thing for the Christian to say, well, I believe Jesus Christ is coming back. Some say it nonchalantly without realizing what they're saying and what that connotates and the end result. But many do not know that he's coming back and that he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. What will he do when he comes back? If Jesus is coming back, what's he going to do? Have you ever thought about that? That's a theological question that needs to be asked. Eschatological, in that term, eschatological truth, simply means future tense. It's talking about prophecy. Eschatologically, let me just give us a brief four-point overview of what's going to take place on the calendar of God. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. That's where, if you're listening to me, ladies and gentlemen, you're saved, then it includes you. The rapture of the church is where Jesus Christ himself calls us home. We're snatched out of this old world. Then after the rapture of the church, there's the ruin on earth, 7 years of tribulation. Then there's the return of Christ. Between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is a 7-year period of time of absolute devastation, darkness, destruction on the face of this earth, where the Antichrist rules and reigns. And then there's the reign of Christ. When Christ returns, he will reign and rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Yes, it's not the rule and reign of Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. The millennial reign is not heaven, but it's where we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck in a little thought. All of the Jewish people that say yes in the last days of the tribulation to Yeshua Messiah as Savior will rule and reign with us in the millennial reign, according to the Scripture. But there are several arguments that mitigate against the 1,000-year reign of Christ, several arguments against the millennial reign, and that is that the reign is not literal. Some say that it's simply symbolic. Some say that the reign is not a literal reign. Others say that Jesus is now ruling and reigning in heaven, and that's the only thing the Scripture is talking about in that 1,000-year reign. Yet others simply disbelieve the Bible and say none of that's going to take place anyway. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question that we're going to be dealing with today, will Jesus come back and rule and reign visibly, physically, on this earth for 1,000 years? So what does the Bible really say? Will Jesus return and reign for 1,000 years from his throne in Jerusalem? I'm delighted that we have again with us on the microphone today, Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible theological professors in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps has had many years in the pastoral ministry, and having an opportunity to serve the Lord by teaching, preaching the Word in and through the ministries here at Conservative Theological University and First Conservative Baptist Church. Dr. Phelps, will Jesus Christ literally return physically? Will he return bodily? Will it be visible? Will people see it? Will we know it? Will it be something that's a phantom, or is it something that's real?
We believe the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming back, and according to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it's in the same way that he went away when Jesus, after his resurrection, ascended to heaven. There's the record that's given to us in Acts chapter 1. Jesus was talking with the disciples, and just before he was taken up, in his ascension, the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven."
We believe when Jesus returns, it'll be just like when he ascended, visibly and physically.
Yeah, I believe we see the appearance of the angels indicates that his coming will be supernatural. The angels announced his birth, his resurrection, his ascension, and the second coming. And the angels will accompany him at his return, according to Matthew 25, 31, when Jesus comes back in his glory and the holy angels with him to sit upon the throne of his glory. From this passage I read in Acts chapter 1, his coming will be the same manner as he went away, and that was visual. The disciples beheld him as he went up to heaven. And so according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, his return in glory will be visible. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back to be the king over all the earth. And by the way, this same passage that I read indicates that they were at the Mount of Olives. And so it's going to be a geographical site to which he returns. And of course, it's personal. This same Jesus, it's not going to be an angel. Some denominations think maybe it's just an angel that's coming back. But the same Jesus will return. The Lord himself will appear in his glory with his mighty angels.
It is a wonderful study to realize, ladies and gentlemen, the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign. And if you want to jump in this dialogue and discussion or ask your questions today relative to this theological, eschatological subject, you might want to call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413, if you'd like to join in the dialogue, discussion, or ask a question. Dr. Phelps, what about some of these that say that the return of Christ and the millennial reign is only a parable, it's a simile or metaphor? Are they wrong? Are they right? What does the Bible say further? I know you just mentioned the fact that just as Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, the Scripture is very, very clear that when he returns geographically, he's going to return in the same place, and it's going to be visible. But what are some of the things we need to understand about this subject of the millennial reign of Christ further that you believe that our listeners need to hear and understand?
Well, we believe the Bible teaches very clearly that just as he was taken up in his ascension, literally, bodily, we believe that that means that Jesus will return in the same manner. We find that his return will be an actual event. It's true to life, not fictional or imaginary. Verse number 9 says that he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus passed through our heavens, what we call it, or our sky, and beyond the clouds. He went back to sit at the right hand of the Father. And we believe that means that he was taken up bodily. This was not just an imaginary thing, like people imagine things that are happening by way of TV and our movies today. But we believe in his bodily resurrection, ascension, and coming again. His ascension was not immaterial or ghostly. It was not a disembodied spirit. See, anatomy is part of the picture given in the prediction, not only here, but also way back in the prophetic scriptures. And his wounds will be actual, and his feet actually will be noticed, noticeably set down when he stands upon the Mount of Olives, according to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. Says his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. So his launching pad was the Mount of Olives, and also we believe that that's going to be his landing pad when he comes back again. He will actually come back to earth again.
And ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that I believe that we need to talk about in relationship to that. We've set the stage now for the return of Christ, and when he returns, it'll be physical, actual, visible, be in the same place that he ascended, the Mount of Olives. But there are several views in theological studies today, and perhaps you've heard of them, several views about the millennial reign. Dr. Phelps, the three views, what are those three views? And I think it's our listeners need to understand, if nothing else, from a very basic understanding of those three views to understand why perhaps they're being taught in some Bible study or some pulpit messages that might seem different to what they're hearing us talk about today. What are those views?
Oh, one of those is a view that is doubting that there is such a thing as a millennial reign of Christ. It's called the amillennial, view. It's the kind of thinking that the church today receives all the spiritual promises and prophecies concerning the nation of Israel. So they spiritualize scriptures such as Isaiah chapter 11, saying that it's not literal. And we would wonder what they would do with passages like Isaiah 53 and its fulfillment at the cross. Another view is the postmillennial view. And that's the thinking that through the preaching of the gospel, the world will eventually embrace Christianity and become worldwide a society of saints. Then Christ will take command and reign over a peaceful planet. But we know the world hasn't become better and better. Rather, it's becoming worse and worse, just as the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, 1, 2 Timothy 3. When you read 2 Timothy 3, you'll see that there are at least 21 character traits that we see in our society today that are not good. Our view here at our church and our university is the premillennial view. And that's the interpretation of prophecy, which believes that Christ will come again literally and personally, geographically, and bodily before the millennial reign. And he will set up his reign and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. In the book of Matthew, chapter 24, we find that scriptures give us something very important in relation to what time or when we expect the Lord to come. Matthew 24, 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we believe that it's just that the rapture is the next event on the calendar of God's time. And then after the rapture of the church, after the people of God have been resurrected, then we'll begin this time of ruin on the earth. That will be followed by this coming again of Christ to rule and reign upon the earth for 1,000 years.
So we talk about the premillennial view. We're talking about that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back prior to the millennial. And so there's some people that are talking about today the new world order, and there will be a new world order coming, and that will be the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think about the new world order and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Dr. Phelps, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps, one of the professors at Conservative Theological University. We're talking about the subject today, will Jesus Christ literally, physically return and be seated on a throne out of a temple in Jerusalem and rule and reign for 1,000 years. So, Dr. Phelps, we've set the stage for the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come back physically, literally. He'll come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years. But tell us something about the actual millennial reign. What can we expect? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've studied your scripture. It's a fascinating study when you analyze the scripture and realize that Jesus Christ is coming back and will rule and reign in this old world for 1,000 years. He will rule and reign out of his throne, from his throne in Jerusalem. He will rule and reign from a new temple. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 46 tells us about that temple that shall be built. Many refer to it as the millennial temple. It is the temple that Jesus Christ will rule and reign. And by the way, Dr. Phelps, when Jesus returns on the Mount of Olives, the scripture says the mountain will clave, that is split, and he will go through a valley, right through the, across the Kidron Valley, and go into the eastern gate. The eastern gate is now walled up, has been since the 7th century, and he'll enter into the eastern gate and enter into the eastern gate and go into the temple and will be seated there and rule and reign. What scriptures does that fulfill? Biblical prophetic scriptures, what does that fulfill in the prophetic text in relationship to his millennial reign?
There are many things that we could talk about today, but we believe that there's a reason why there must be a kingdom of Christ on earth. History is moving toward the time for establishing the kingdom of Christ on earth in fulfillment of God's promises to all of his people. Why must there be a kingdom of Christ for 1,000 years? I believe one of the first that we could talk about is because of King David. Way back in the book of 2 Samuel, God made a covenant. In the Davidic covenant given in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised to establish his kingdom, his throne, and his house. And God has been faithful in doing so. That promise was confirmed in Psalm 89 and renewed again to Mary by the angel Gabriel. And the record of that is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 37. The angel said to Mary that the Lord God will give to Jesus the throne of his father David, Luke 1, 32. And Jesus is the son of David according to the flesh. He's the son of God according to the scriptures and the testimony of God. God has sent Jesus then in fulfillment of that promise that he made to David. That's one of the reasons we believe that it's going to be a literal kingdom of Christ on earth. Jesus is coming back again, and he's coming back to sit upon that throne. Another reason for the second coming of Christ to rule and reign is because of the nations of the earth. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11, has many things to say to us about that event. This future event we call the millennial reign is talked about in Isaiah 11, verse 1. We read, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now, what we're reading there is about a descendant of David, and his grandparent is mentioned there. And the Bible tells us that he's called the branch of David. That means a descendant of David. He's a son of David. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, that is, upon Jesus. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle or belt of his reins. We're told about the quality of the kingdom. It says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf with the young lion, fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. Those are words that tell us that things are going to be better during the millennium. Even the animals are going to be affected. It's going to be a place for people to live and enjoy during the future millennial kingdom. And when we say the nations, we mean all other nations other than the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is going to be the prominent nation, but there are other nations like America or Brazil, other nations over which the Lord shall reign. So the rule of Christ will be worldwide to include all of the nations.
And one of the things we find, Dr. Phelps, and I think about it as you were speaking then, in relationship to all of the events, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you study the book of Isaiah, some have said that one-fourth of the text in the book of Isaiah deals with the millennial reign, one-fourth. And there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. That's a pretty hefty amount of scripture that's devoted to the categorization and the characterization of what will happen in the millennial reign. Dr. Phelps, all of this is possible in the millennial reign for one thing, and that is according to Revelation chapters chapter 20, that Satan himself is going to be bound. And as a result of Satan being bound, there is no wickedness as we know it today. As a result of Satan being bound, there's, as I've used the term many, many years now, during the millennial reign, there's peace and prosperity and plenty as only the Lord can provide. And that's because Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. That's a pretty good text in relationship to setting the stage as to all of these other things opening up as to what God is going to do. Talk with us about that for a minute, Dr. Phelps. We've got about 2 minutes to go on our broadcast. Tell us about that Satan's bound, and what does that connote? What does it say? What are the possibilities then?
In my thinking and my study, I've learned that the kingdom of Christ must take place because of sin. Since Satan is the instigator of sin, he will be bound for 1,000 years. You see, Satan is behind every sin, every murder, every war, every evil practice, all violence and offenses, all wrong and iniquity, transgression. You see, the criminal, Satan, must be put in prison, because God intends for this to be a rule in righteousness, not sin. And so righteousness, not sin, will prevail in the kingdom age. Joy and rest and honor, freedom and dignity and blessing and good and purity. God has in mind a veritable paradise in the kingdom, and the curse upon the ground also will be lifted.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I can summarize for us, our time is gone for today, but let me simply summarize all that we've said. And it's an impossibility in a few minutes to talk about the millennial reign and give full details and all of the scripture that relates to it, but Satan will be bound, Revelation 20, verse 2. Righteousness will abound, Isaiah 11. Peace will be universal, Isaiah 2, 4. The earth's productivity will be great, Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. All to the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed, an opportunity then to serve the Lord based on their volitional choice. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to next week as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.